of sin, Satan, the grave, death, everything, it's just as much yours as it is his. He did it for you. He didn't do it for himself. He didn't have to pay for his own sins. Did he? No, he paid for yours to lift you up out of that and put you in a place that is equal to him. Don't look at me in that tone. I'm quoting the Bible. This is what the Bible says. God, because if there was any difference between you and Jesus, why would Jesus say to the Saul of Tarsus, why are you persecuting me? He didn't say, why are you persecuting those Christians down there, those believers in me? He says, you're persecuting me. He identifies with you. We need to identify with him as he says we are. Amen. We have an inheritance, and a lot of that inheritance has already been delegated to us, already been transferred to us in a legal document. It's called the Bible. It's called the New Testament. That is a legal document that God will not turn away from. The problem is that we don't understand what we've already been given. In other words, the Bible says this. By whose stripes you were healed. God doesn't say you will be healed. He says you were healed by those stripes. So if you were, that means you are. That means it is a reality in heaven. All you have to do is agree with it here on earth. Too many people never get healed because they're asking God to do something that he's already done. He's already done that. God starts with the fact that you're the healed. You're not the sick trying to get better. You're the healed. That's what he calls you. So what do we need to do? We need to agree with the fact that he has already provided healing, just the same way as he provided salvation. You get healed the same way you get saved. Believe it in your heart. Speak it with your mouth. Amen. Is that hard?
Nope.
I mean, do you have to work out with weights and do all kinds of stuff and be good for an hour to receive healing? No, it's already done. It's already done. Besides, all of our works are filthy rags. Anyhow, he did it perfectly. All we do is agree with that, and there's more power. Michael, is there anything in your life, if you go back, if there was one thing you could change right now, what would that be? That's what you need to ask yourself, because the blood of Jesus has already undid it. That came right out of my spirit. That came from the Lord. That was the Lord. Our inheritance, what we have inherited, we talked about that in part one, that has already been transferred to us. We don't have to go to God and ask God for things that he's already given to us. Caleb got a new puppy. Right? Caleb has a little puppy dog now. Now, why would he go to Victor and Tony and say, can I have a puppy? We've already given you a puppy. Well, yeah, but can you give it to me and make me know that I have it? Or show me a sign. See how nuts we get sometimes? No, we've already inherited things in the Bible. And when you read the New Testament, read it. Looking for the keys of the kingdom of heaven that Jesus has already given to you to unlock the power of God to kick in the gates of hell. And by the way, the gates of hell are not out there somewhere. The gates of hell are in the minds of people. Those are the gates that lock them into limited thinking,
right.
Lock them into human type of thinking,
yeah.
Lock them into earthbound thinking, and that have not liberated them into the kingdom of heaven. I'm gonna take off here in a minute. We talked about the things that are ours and inherited. We talked about the name of Jesus that has been delegated to the church. Amen. Aren't you glad about that?
Amen.
You know, you can take the name of Jesus, slam it right between the devil's eyes and say, get!
Amen.
Get out of my life! Get out of my house. Get out of my family. Get out of my job. Get out of my finances. Get out in the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
And do you know who stands up when you say that? Jesus himself.
Jesus. Amen.
And you know the look he gives? Do you remember the movie Ben-Hur? Yes. Do you remember when that Roman was beating these people, knocking water out of there and everything? And then Jesus stands up and you just see his back. And then you see the Roman face and goes, well, that's nothing compared to what the devil sees when Jesus raises up, when you say, because you have delegated authority here in the earth to say, get up and get out. Now, Jesus, you're in his shadow. So that means if you're in his shadow of the Almighty, then who's behind you when you start saying in the name of Jesus? He's there to back it up as if it was him speaking himself. Amen. You get anything out of this? I'm getting charged. Remember the Roman centurion? He sent delegates to Jesus and said, my servant, you know, we're not even sure if the Roman centurion ever even talked to Jesus, according to Luke chapter 7. He sent elders of the Jews to him, and then when he got near the house, Jesus said, I'll come and heal him. When he got near the house, he sent friends up to him, say, I'm not worthy you come under my roof. We're not even sure if the Roman centurion, but it was such a practice back then to send people. They were delegated. Delegated authority, the process of stewardship and all of that, it was so accepted that it was just as if the person was talking it. If you've been delegated the name of Jesus, delegated authority, it's just as if Jesus himself is speaking. Amen. If you missed that, you can go online and get these messages too. Part three was his victory is our victory. Again, he didn't do this for himself. He did it for us. Everything he didn't do to say, well, I'm the Son of God, and just inflate himself with a bunch of pride. No, everything he did was for us, for fallen humanity, broken, sick, sighing, dying, crying humanity. Why? Because he had the answer to every problem in their life. And he gave his victory that he truly deserved and gave it to us. Part four, we talked about the true witness of Christ. Jesus said, you shall receive power. Look at the back wall. It says, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you to be witnesses. The Holy Spirit is the true witness of who Christ is. You can't just say, well, you know what? You can repent of your sins and you can receive Jesus and be just like me. That's not witnessing, folks. That's dumb. That's dumb squared. No, the witness is the Holy Spirit. And if you're going to be a witness to a supernatural God, you've got a supernatural witness on the inside, and you need to open up your mouth and let him know that what he did then, he'll do now. Amen. Who he was then, he will do now. Amen. If he was a deliverer then, he's a deliverer now. Amen. There was one guy, he used to go to the he used to go to hospitals and just pray for people. And watch God heal him. And then there's this one guy who was a very wealthy CEO of some big company, and he was in there, and he was just told that he was terminal by the doctors. And the guy comes in, he says, can I pray for you? He says, I don't know, I think I'm beyond prayer. He said, why do you say that? They just told me I'm going to die. He said, well, let me pray for you. He says, are you born again? He says, what's that? Well, he led him to the Lord and accepted. And he said, is that all? I mean, will God heal me? He says, yeah, of course he will. he got healed from that too. Went back to work, ran his company. This was like 25 years ago. But look, why expect anything less? Is that same Jesus who rose from the dead, who healed lepers, incurable people, hopeless situations where they're in hurricane winds in the sea and they are sinking, they are going down. Death by drowning is imminent. Except for Jesus. I mean, he walks on the water anyway. Pretty hard to drown him. But what did he do? He calmed the storm, not for himself, for them. So he could get to Gadara and get that demoniac delivered and everything. The devil was putting up a fight to stop him from doing that. But his victory is our victory. Amen. Oh, is this rich? We're in tall cotton this morning. So this morning we're talking about the indwelling of God. This is something we inherited through the finished works of Jesus. That God is in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure, right? He is in, say, God is in me. The Father is in me. The Son is in me. The Holy Spirit is in me. God is in me. Amen. It says in John 14:23, you don't have to turn there, but if a man love me, he will keep my word. My what? My words. He will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode in him. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The triune God is in you, in your spirit. Boy, that's big. You know, this is something we need to reacquaint ourselves with, the indwelling of God. You know, Brother Hagin used to preach this all the time. He used to say, you know, you need to practice the presence of God. Not just that he's here with you, but that he is here in you. And he is ready when you walk to walk with you. He says, I'll live in them. I'll walk in them. I will be their God and they'll be my people. He is in you, in you, in you. Amen. This is the most intimate, most sweetest, most powerful love that is available to mankind, is the indwelling of God in our human spirit. I mean, think of that. You think of the ugly mess that this world was that had really no light. All they had was a law that made God mad and men mad. Because they couldn't do it, and he knew they couldn't do it, and it was a frustration. It says, Paul said in Romans that the law works wrath. That means all it did is make God mad and man mad. Because nobody could do anything about it. All it was meant to do was reveal the need for a Savior. So there was little light in the world. The only light was, is God's holy and we're not. Mm-hmm. Major revelation. But we needed to know what sin was. And that's what the law did. Because it's pretty hard to repent of something you don't know is there or is undefined. So Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. And he said, you don't even have to follow me now. I'll be in you. Didn't he say that? Mm-hmm. Practice the presence of God, that he is in you, that he is in you. Wake up in the morning and say, Lord, thank you for being inside of me. Thank you for making all things new, that I'm a new creature, that you have turned my spirit into a new wine bottle, into a new wineskin that can contain the presence of God. Some of you haven't gotten there yet. This just occurred to me too. You know how many people I talk to in a week's time that say, you know, I have a sensing this, but I'm not sure if it's the Lord. Well, let me ask you something. Are you born again? Yes. Are you filled with the Spirit? Yes. Do you have the Word of God in your heart?
Yes.
Do you have, and with all of that, filled with God's love, God's power, God's faith, God's Spirit, God's Word, and you wonder if it's God talking to you? I'd be surprised if he wasn't. In fact, he should be talking to you moment by moment, hour by hour, day by day. He should be talking to you all the time. You should be hearing him all the time. You know, Smith Wigglesworth, the Lord appeared to him so many times. He said, if the Lord hadn't appeared to me in 2 or 3 days, I'm thinking something's wrong. This is how many, this guy raised the dead. He had, well, I think it was 29 bona fide resurrections from the dead. And those are just the ones they counted. He was on other mission trips where they didn't even count them. I'm still working on my first. I'd love to do that. And there's no reason why I couldn't. No reason why you can't. Amen. You have the power. See, we have something on the inside of us called dunamis. We have another thing on the inside of us called kratos. We have another thing on the inside of us called ishkus. All of those have, those are the muscle of God, the resurrection, life-giving power of God, and the miracle-working power of God. Those are things that work together in our spirit that need to be developed. Right now, they're in raw form when we're born again. So if you've been born into the family of God, you are hearing God. And as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. The answer to 1,000 questions, the answer, the solution to 1,000 problems is be led by the Spirit. How do you do that? Well, where is he? He's right here. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice, they hear my voice, I lead them and they follow. Say that. I know his voice.
I know his voice.
I hear his voice.
I hear his voice.
He leads me.
And I follow
him. Isn't that simple? Isn't that simple? Well, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12, it says that we have received the Spirit who is of God, that we may know the things that are freely given to us of God. And one of those things is to hear his voice, to know his voice, to have him lead us and to follow him. How does it mean follow him? Is he walking out here and I'm following? No, he's in here. Follow him, follow his direction, follow his guidance, follow his counsel, follow his word that declares who you are, what you have, where you are, and all you can do. Now, there's all kinds of dimensions on the indwelling of God. We're not going to go into a lot of that here today, but turn with me, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 3. And before we start, what I want to do, let's do our weekly confession here. Say it together. Declare it. This word is God speaking to me. This word is God's life being imparted to me. This word is God's incorruptible seed being planted in me. This word is God's authority being delegated to me. This word is God's blessing overtaking me. This word is God's ability empowering me. This word is God's counsel guiding me. This word is God's power of salvation to me. This word is God accomplishing in me that which pleases him. This word is God speaking to me. So in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14, Paul is praying a prayer. He says, for this cause I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that works in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Let's go back to verse 14. He said, for this cause I bow my knee unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. You know, there is only one family. You know, I used to think, like, here we are, the church is here in the earth, and then those who have died go to be in heaven, and there's only one family. Ever since Jesus rose from the dead and people started to get born again, there was one church and one family. Some of them have already gone to heaven. Some of us are here, but it's the same family. And here's the revelation in that, that what they have is just as much yours as it is them. You're in the same family. You got the same father. It's just a matter of location. But what's possible to them is also possible to you. They're recreated, so are you. See, we've got to get rid of the small thinking and this limited thinking to this, that we're bound to this earth in some way. No. The words that you declare are not your own. They came from the throne of God. And he gave it to you. So there's one family. Don't think of that separation. Think of it as you're united with them as much as we are all united to Christ. Amen?
Amen.
And we've inherited the name. It says, look, the whole family in heaven and earth is named by the name of Christ. You are named. God has chosen to legally documenting in a covenant, documenting that his name belongs to you. You are named with his name. This is the name that is above every name, not only in this world, but in that which is to come. This is the unity we have with the whole family of God in heaven and in earth. And that name conferred upon us is above every name in all times, in all seasons, whether we're here or there. That name is above all name, and it's given to us. I don't know about you, but that's shouting ground. That's dancing territory. I want to dance before the Lord. I want to sing and praise him some more. I want to shout in the house. I want to praise the Lord. Oh, you got to get lit. We've inherited the name. So Paul is praying in that wonderful name of Jesus, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. You got to understand the wording here and why Paul used these words. This is amazing here. That he would grant you. That word grant means to bestow, to bring forth, and commit to something to. So that he would grant, that he would bring forth, bestow, and commit to you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might. Let's look at the word riches. This is a good word. Well, let's look at this. What are the riches of God's glory? Are God's riches, does that include the unseen and the seen world? Does that include any kind of wealth or any kind of resources that this world holds? Yeah, it goes beyond that, doesn't it?
Yes.
Is it beyond anything that man can imagine?
Yes.
Is the riches of God beyond anything that this solar system has?
Yes.
Or the earth? Let's talk about precious metals, steel, iron. How about platinum, titanium? Does it go beyond that?
Yep.
How about raw materials, oil, gas deposits? How much stones, rubies, emeralds, sapphires, diamonds? His riches are far beyond that. And don't think, you know, we need to attack something here too. People think, you know, if you're rich, if you have gold, or God made the stuff. He walks on gold. And part of the family walks on gold too. So don't think that gold or silver or these things are evil. They're not. God made them. In fact, he created all things for us freely to enjoy, the Bible says. He didn't make it for the devil's kids so they could have some status symbol. No, God, you are a temple. And the temple is the most decorated building on the block. Isn't it? It's the most bejeweled on the block. It's good. I'm not saying to go after those things. No, you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things will be added to you. It's not a big deal. But don't look at somebody who has these things and say, well, they must be wrong or they must be selfish or, you know. No. You know, that's small thinking anyhow. God's riches go beyond all of that. Think of the massive wealth of the pharmaceutical companies.
Oh my gosh.
Now, and they're coming up with new stuff all the time, because as the world is escalating in sin, there are new diseases that they're discovering all the time that are popping up, and new this, new that, and everything. They got to keep up with it, and half of it works and some of it doesn't. And if you take this, you could get a brain bleed or kidneys failure or whatever. You could be dead or have what they call a fatal event.
So good luck, right?
So if you do have a fatal event, call 911. See, those things can be really damaging. The pharmaceuticals, but look at this. The pharmacopoeia of this earth, just in the plant life alone, let alone in the sea and in the eggs and so forth, and the oils, the fish oils and so forth, the pharmacopoeia of this world is absolutely amazing. And they are just starting to discover everything that's in those things. Good things, natural things that God put here for us. His wealth and riches are far beyond that. One word from God, whew, and your whole body will change. Your mind can be totally renewed and renovated and filled and restored to the way He wants you to be able to function. It's according to these uncomprehensible riches of His glory that He wants you strengthened with might by your spirit, by His spirit in your inner man. He wants to pour such strength in you that you can't even contain it. That's the riches of His glory. That you be. Now, people say, well, I'm born again. I'm a new creation. Why would I need to be strengthened? That's a good question. Well, just think of it in the natural. Think over here. When you were first born, you were born with muscle, right? You were born with ligaments and so forth and tendons and everything. Well, some people have taken advantage of isometrics and weight training and so forth to build up their muscles, right? That's what he's talking about here. That the exercising of your faith works endurance, works strength. And you can build up yourself on your most holy faith praying in the Holy Spirit. Arnold Schwarzenegger didn't get to be Arnold Schwarzenegger by sitting on the couch and saying, I'm strong, I'm strong, I'm strong, I'm strong. Did he? He could have still been there yet, and he wouldn't be. He'd still be a 90-pound weakling. But he exercised and built himself up. One way that you can build yourself up is praying in tongues. That's exercising your spirit, and you're getting stronger. You're being strengthened with might by His spirit in your inner man. Did that fly over your head? Because this is real stuff. Because as you exercise your spirit, praying in the Holy Spirit, you're building yourself up on that faith, and that faith is what accesses that dunamis power that's inside of you, and that dunamis power strengthens your spirit, man, strengthens you, gives you revelation and understanding and wisdom beyond human understanding. Praying in the Holy Spirit. Get out of the earthly realm and get into the spirit. Look, we're heading there, right? We're heading to heaven?
Yeah, yes.
Have you ever seen heaven?
No.
No, but you know we're going there, right?
Right.
Say, well, the same thing applies to healing, too. You don't see your body whole or healed yet, right? But yet you can say you're healed because faith calls things which be not as though it was. Exercise your faith. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Pray in the Holy Spirit when you feel authority over these things. When you sense, get that sense of authority, and all of a sudden things start breaking loose. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Where are we here? The riches of His glory. You can't dream of this stuff. You can't. I mean, if it wasn't for Jesus. If Jesus never existed, no man would be able to invent Him. Let's put it that way. Resurrection was a foreign, they wouldn't even, that wouldn't enter into anybody's mind. Jesus stood there at the Last Supper and He said, you know what, when I die, you can just speak my name and I'll do it. What mortal man could do that? What mortal man could say things like that? No, they couldn't. That's the Jesus who lives in you. So don't think that things are impossible when they are not. Is anything impossible? All things are possible with God. That's what Gabriel said to Mary. And it still holds true. By the way, this is why we need to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in our inner man. Why? Look at verse 17. that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. It takes faith sometimes to believe that God is in you, especially when after you make a mistake. Especially after you sin. But you see, his seed remains in you. And his seed cannot sin. He is always there to pick you up. The Bible doesn't say that to be Christian is to be sinless.
Right.
In fact, it says this, that if we, he's talking to Christians, if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He's the propitiation for our sins. So, and also, if we confess our sins, he's faithful to forgive us our sins. And it also says that if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. So it's not about being perfect. It's not about being right. Christians are so doggedly determined to be right. I'm right. No, he's called you to be righteous.
Yes.
And that righteous and being right are two different things.
Yes.
Being righteous is having right standing before God. And I'll tell you something, you can be right and you can be a lot wronger than the person who is wrong because their heart is right with God.
Right.
Because they're righteous. It's not a matter of being right. It's not a matter of being wrong. You don't get your prayers answered because you're wrong. Or because you're right. You get your prayers answered because you come in the name of Jesus. And you ask, believing it, receive. And you shall have. Amen?
Amen.
See, Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, which is why we need to be rooted and grounded in love. Amen? Because faith works by love. And unless you really believe and receive and walk in the reality of the indwelling of God, you cannot do the word. You cannot walk in the reality of the Sermon on the Mount. You cannot love as you are loved. You cannot forgive as you have been forgiven. You cannot show mercy as God has shown you. You can't partake of the things of God that he has given to you if you're not rooted and grounded in love. So if you have come to the place in your life and say, yeah, I'm going to love President Trump, but Biden, I'm going to hate him. You better not say that. You better not think that. If you have come to, look, God loves him.
Right.
Regardless of the fact of all of his mistakes. And you were in the same boat at one time.
Yes.
I'm not an advocate here for Joe Biden. I hate everything the man stands for.
Right.
But him, I do not have the right to hate him.
Right.
Any more than Jesus has the right to hate Saul of Tarsus. For murdering Christians. You don't have that right. And in fact, you honor Jesus when you love the unlovable. You honor Jesus when you love the unmerciful and you show mercy to those who persecute you. Without the indwelling of God in you, you cannot walk in the reality of these things. And if you cannot walk in the reality of these things, how many other things that he has given you are you going to forfeit the use of while you're here in this earth? Will you go to heaven? Yes, you will go to heaven because you're a new creation. You've been born again. You've been born into the family. But you miss out on a lot on this earth if you forfeit those things. Get out of your human understanding because Christianity has nothing to do with that. Amen. So why should I need strength? Because you need to stand. You need to stand against spiritual forces that are more powerful than human forces. There are sins of commission, sins of omission. The devil's got you coming and going. He does. And he knows it. But if you walk by faith, all of that stuff will become very obvious to you. And you keep on doing the real, and you'll recognize the counterfeit when it's coming. And you'll have the wisdom of God operating in your life. You see, your spirit, man, let me just say this too. Your spirit on the inside needs to be strengthened. It needs to be renewed every day.
Amen.
So your spirit is not the eternal spirit of God that is self-existent in and of itself. You are dependent on God. That's one of the differences between you and God is that you are dependent on him. He needs nothing. He is self-existent, needing nothing. It says in 2 Corinthians 4:16, it says, though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. You need to renew your spirit day by day. How do you do that? Keep your eyes in this word. Keep hearing it. Keep it in the midst of your heart by speaking it. Stay in fellowship with God. And I'm not talking just relationship with God. I'm talking about fellowshipping with God. Fellowshipping with Him. Hearing His voice. Knowing His voice. Having Him lead you, and you follow His lead. Stuff like that. We need the daily bread of His word. We need the fresh breath of His spirit breathing into our spirit. Without that, your path is going to be dark. You're not going to see where you're going. Jesus, Psalm 119, 105, is it? No, it's not. Oh, yeah. The word, what is a lamp? The word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. When you're doing the word, your path will light up. When you continue to do the word, the confusion will dissolve. When you continue to do the word is light and life and power and strength and healing and health. And your path will all of a sudden become brighter and brighter and brighter.
Amen.
Says, so is the path of the righteous. It gets brighter and brighter until the noonday. Your path should be getting brighter and brighter, not darker and darker. Amen. Your questions should be dissolving. Your doubts should be dissolving. And faith and love and power should be coming in to focus in your life.
Amen.
Without the light of the word, we don't know where we're going. Amen. Amen. So, if the riches of God's glory are beyond all that man can possibly fathom, and He would commit to us according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in our inner man, how much strength can we depend on when we need it? You want me to repeat that? I'll just read it to you. If, and there is no if, but I'll just put in there. If the riches of God's glory are beyond all that man can fathom, can possibly fathom, and He would commit to us according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might, that word might is dunamis, miracle working power, strengthened with might by His Spirit in our inner man, how much strength can we depend on when we need it?
All of it.
And that's not all. We can depend on more than enough, so we have enough left over for somebody else to encourage them too. We have enough to give. We have enough to overcome. We have enough to really and walk in His presence and enjoy Him forever. This way, when we step out of this body, oh, thank God for that day. When we step out of this body, we just walk right into Him. And we have our tabernacle from on high. And Peter said, you know, I really long to be clothed with that tabernacle from on high, my glorified body. But until that day, I'm walking by faith. I'm walking in love, and I'm keeping the Sermon on the Mount in front of my eyes, and I'm not going to depart from that. And if it says to love those who hate me, I got to do it.
Amen.
Because I'm not going to forfeit all the blessings that go along with that.
Amen.
I'm not going to forfeit all the privileges that go along with that. I'm not going to forfeit all of the strength I need. I'm not going to forfeit all of the power that I need to get through this world. No, why forfeit any? Why let some ugly person take you out of the game? That's what you do when you get offended with somebody. You know, you say, hey, if you want to be ugly, go ahead, be ugly. I love you anyhow. Why? Because I'm not going to forfeit what He died to give me. And He died for you too. So stop being ugly. Let's walk together. Amen? Yeah, I've heard all the arguments. You're being so presumptuous here. You're thinking, no, it's presumptuous to think that you're anything less than He calls you. Do you have to mature and grow into these things? Absolutely. But start somewhere. Start by working the love of God. Start by working the faith of God. Start by walking and get a revelation of the hope of your calling. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Colossians chapter 1, verse 25 says this. You know, Paul received the revelation of the gospel and the mystery that it was. He said, I've been made a minister of this gospel according to the dispensation of God. Now, this word dispensation has been totally misused. They've said that this means a certain time, you know, that was then, and dispensations. And so, no, that's not what that means at all. It's mentioned twice in the New Testament, and both times it means stewardship. That's all it means. The church has made too many things of this. No, there was not an early church and not a modern. There's one church in heaven and in earth. Amen. There's one family. He's the same Holy Spirit as he was then. He's the same God as he was then. And we are the same recreated people as they were then, with the same needs. So he said, I was made according to the dispensation or the stewardship of God, which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God. Even the mystery which has been hid from the ages. Why was it hidden from ages? Because there's an enemy who wants to undo God's plan. And he kept it secret to be revealed in Jesus. And when it was revealed in Jesus, it was too late for the devil to catch up. He was way behind. The mystery which was hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to the saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of the mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you. Say, Christ in me.
Christ in me.
Jesus is in me.
Jesus.
The Father is in me.
The Father is in me.
The Holy Spirit is in me.
The Holy Spirit
is upon me to be witnesses of him. To do the mighty things that he did. And greater things than those. Because he's at the right hand of God. Mediating the New Testament for me. Christ is in me. The hope of glory. Woo! Glory to God. Yes. Is the word wrong?
No.
Hey. Then let us start undoing all that little doubt and fear and unbelief. And so, I'm here. I live in you both to will and to do of my good pleasure, he says. And his pleasure is good. He's a good dad. Amen. Is this word God speaking to you? Is this word God's life being imparted to you? Let it be incorruptible seed that it will reproduce what it was sent to do. And or prosper in the thing whereunto it was sent.
Amen.
It's incorruptible seed. It will, and the word is God, right? When it's planted here, it will reproduce after its own kind. In you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Did you get anything out of that today? It's well, we'll see. Because if you believe it, you shall see it.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word, Lord, for the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of life, seed of power, seed of authority, seed of solutions, seed of answers, seed of health, seed of everything. Lord, we thank you that we can receive your word and release its power in our spirit man to have our minds renewed, renovated, and restored to the truth and to the love and the joy of our salvation. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You're dismissed. There's refreshments and fellowship in the cafe. Don't miss out. Some of that's really good stuff. And if you need prayer for anything else, please come forward. And our altar ministers will pray with you and agree. We've seen miracles at this altar. Don't miss out on that. If you have a need,